Please open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, as we will read the verses 1 through 18. John 10, 1 through 18. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 950. And we hear the Lord Jesus speaking in John chapter 10, saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So far, the reading of Holy Scripture. The text that we wish to concentrate on this morning hour is to be found in this passage, verse 9, where we hear the Lord Jesus saying as follows, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So far then, God's holy word and our text. We will now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something about the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus that is simply amazing. And it is amazing because it is so simple. The amazing thing about the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is in its simplicity. Certainly, if he wanted to, the Lord Jesus Christ could speak in scientific and philosophical terms and language. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ could outdo all the poets and all of the orators of the Greek world. He could do far better than any of them. Jesus could put each preacher and each speaker to shame by the power by which he was able to speak. But he chose to speak and to preach in the most simple of terms. He spoke in terms of trees and of grass and of water and of clouds and of doors. Terms that are familiar to each one of us because they are above us, below us, they're all around us, aren't they? Now, why did Jesus choose to speak in such simplicity, you might ask? Well, he chose to speak in such simple terms because, after all, he has salvation to declare to even the most unlearned and to the most unscholared person around. Jesus chose to speak in the most simplest of terms because he does not want to have anyone get lost due to his lack of understanding the gospel. And so it is with the text that we have before us this hour. It is a gospel text for us people, even for us who may not be very learned, even for us, some of us, who may not be very scholarly. And yet at the same time, he is able to bring this message to that level, but to the level of the highest scholar around. And so let us then hear the message as we will consider Jesus says, "I am the door." In the first place, the greatness of this door. Secondly, the necessity of this door. Thirdly, the users of this door. And then lastly, the benefits of using this door. Now, congregation, as we look here at John chapter 10, we gather that Jesus is speaking about the work of a shepherd. The work of a shepherd. And as you know, it was common sight in Israel that particular day and even up to this day. Shepherds were to be seen with their flocks in the fields, all around the towns and the villages in the land of Israel, as common as we would now see the grapes or the trees or the cows in the field. And Jesus therefore speaks in familiar terms, you see, in order that even the children will understand those terms. Isn't it great that the Lord Jesus Christ did not speak on the level of scientists or philosophers or mathematicians or lawyers or politicians? If he had, his message would have gone over the heads of many, perhaps most of us. But that is not the case. True, as I said already, Jesus spoke with great authority, but he still spoke at the same time with the greatest of simplicity, and it is best that we, especially as preachers and teachers, keep it that way. I'm sure that many children gathered around the Lord Jesus to hear him speak simply because they could understand him, you see. And surely they could understand the story about the shepherd and the flock of sheep. They could understand what the sheepfold was about and what the door of the sheepfold was about. And perhaps as Jesus spoke of those very things, they saw them out there in the field right before their eyes. However, as simple as his speech may be, there is still some explanation necessary, isn't there? Because what Jesus says about the shepherd and the sheep, he means to say about himself and you and me, us. You see, Jesus compares himself here to a shepherd. In fact, he says so in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And we sing about this too, don't we? When we sing from the words of Psalm 23, for instance, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. Well, if Jesus is to be known as the shepherd, then he wants us to be known as the sheep. And already at this very point, congregation, I would like to say that this is a wonderful privilege to be known as a sheep of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd whose name is Jesus. And the question can be raised already at this point, and I include the boys and girls in this as well. Are you already one of the sheep of this Good Shepherd? Remember what Jesus once said about what it means to be a sheep of the Good Shepherd? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you a sheep of the Good Shepherd? Are you listening to him? Do you hear his voice? And have you learned to follow him? But now, what about this door? How can Jesus both be shepherd and door at the same time? Well, there's a story told of a man who went to visit the land of Palestine one day. And as he walked the countryside, he came upon a sheepfold, an enclosure out there in the open field, an enclosure made of brick and of stone, and with an opening in this wall of brick and stone. And as a shepherd was nearby, he asked, "Is that a fold of the sheep?" "Yes," so the shepherd says, "yes." "But I see only one way in," said the man. "Yes, there it is. There is the door," replied the shepherd, pointing to the opening in the wall. "But I see no door in this opening," said the man. "Oh," said the shepherd, and it amazed the man. "I am the door." "Well, what do you mean by calling yourself the door?" To which the shepherd very quietly and naturally replied, "Well, you see, the sheep go inside, and I come there, and I lie down across the threshold of the opening. And no sheep can get out except over my body, and no wolf can get in except over me." Well, this is exactly what Jesus also means when he says, "I am the door." And isn't this really a wonderful illustration of who Jesus is? He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And here Jesus compares salvation to being in the sheepfold. And if we, you and I, are to be saved, dear people, and be in that sheepfold, then there is Jesus, the door, by which we must enter in. I want, therefore, to draw your attention particularly to the greatness of this door. Jesus says, "I am the door." Now notice that he did not call himself a gate, or the curtain, or a flap, or a portal, or a hatch, but a door, the door. That is the most commonplace thing in any and most openings. We go through doors all the time, don't we? Perhaps 10, 20, 30 times a day. Or perhaps even 100 times a day. You have to come through the door in order to get into your home, or to get out of your home and to get into your car. You have to go through a number of doors in order to get into this sanctuary. Several doors. And you will have to face those same doors again when you leave as well. A door is one of the most commonplace items that we meet up with in our life, isn't it? Even more than what we think. And I believe that Jesus would want us to think about what he says of himself whenever we go through a door. That whenever we pass through a door, right away, we remember those words that Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. And therefore, in a certain way, Jesus will make every door that you use in your life to preach just a small sermon to you. Remember this, boys and girls, that Jesus preaches a small sermon to you each time you pass through a doorway. Because Jesus says, I am the door. And the greatness of this door is that Jesus himself calls himself the door. And then he compares himself to one of the most commonplace items in our life. Now this says something about Jesus, doesn't it? It says something most wonderful about him. His greatness is in his simplicity, in his commonplace simplicity, as he says, I am the door. And no one can mistake him for anything else. He is the door. He is the door of the sheepfold. And at the same time, herein lies the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the door of the sheepfold. Because as a shepherd lies at the threshold of the sheepfold, so Jesus lies at the threshold of your and my salvation. And when we think of that for a moment, it has some strong connotations to what the Lord Jesus says in this passage, that he lay down. He laid down his life. In fact, if you would look through the passage that we've read, the verses 11, the verses 15 and 17 and 18, he speaks, in fact, four times of himself giving or himself laying down his life for the sheep. And so when you see the Lord Jesus, as it were, laying there in the sheepfold door, then think of him laying down his life for the sheep. And you see, it is by him and through him laying down his life that we can enter in and that we can be saved. And just think of that. Jesus says, I am the door. And in verse 7, he even adds, I am the door of the sheep. Which means that whoever is saved and is in the sheepfold is safe and is secure and is well protected. And so, dear people, look at the entrance of your salvation if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd. And when you know yourself to be one of his sheep, just look at the entrance of your salvation and you will see Jesus there. You will see him lying there. You will see him laying down his life for you, the sheep. And he is there on the threshold of your salvation entrance. And that means that he will never, ever have you lost again. Isn't that therefore compelling to trust in him, Jesus, the good shepherd, the door? But let me now say something in the second place of the necessity of this door. Suppose for a moment that the sheepfolds in Palestine had no openings and had no doors. The sheep obviously would not be able to get in and out or find shelter and protection. Suppose for a moment that salvation and heaven is there, but there is no opening and no door. Suppose for a moment that Jesus would be missing from this picture and It could never be proclaimed that he said, "I am the door." There would be no way of entrance and salvation for you and me to enjoy. All of us would then be lost. All of us then would be prey to more than just a few wolves or thieves or robbers. We would be victims of the devil. We would remain forever in our sins and eventually land in a place that by no stretch of the imagination could ever be called a sheepfold. And so the necessity of this door is quite obvious to each one of us, isn't it? And Jesus makes this very clear when he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And if anyone is to be saved, dear people, it is to be by the Lord Jesus Christ, the door. And notice that Jesus does not say, "I am a door," as if he is amongst a number of other doors as well. No, a sheepfold in the land of Palestine did not have many doors. Imagine how confusing this would be to the sheep if there would be a number of doors that they could enter in. No, a sheepfold in the land of Palestine had only one opening, one door in that opening, and by it the sheep entered into the sheepfold. Now what does that tell us, you might ask? What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that salvation does not have a number of ways to it, or openings or doors. It has only one way, and one opening, and one door. And Jesus says this with singular emphasis, "I am." And in the Greek, the stress is on the I. It is I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he means with this that no one else is the door, and nothing else is the door but him. He says, "I am the door." Just as he says elsewhere, "I am the way." There is no other way. There is no other entrance. There is no other door but Jesus. The Apostle Peter, he says it with great emphasis, something similar to it, when he speaks of the salvation of Jesus. "For there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus." So you see again the great necessity of this door. It is the only entrance to salvation and is the only means whereby we must be saved. Now listen carefully again to what the Lord Jesus says when he applies with it, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And what he implies with this is that if you do not make use of him as the door, you will not be saved. Now, why do I go into all of that, you might ask? Well, you see, some people think that there are a variety of ways, a variety of means whereby one can be saved. And they believe that there is therefore a variety of doors, such as the door of baptism, or the door of church membership, or the door of good works. But Jesus says, "I am the door." Dear people, baptism alone will not save you, and neither will church membership alone save you. Even your good works according to the law of God, they will not save you. And remember this. At best, they can only lead you in the direction of the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. But by him alone, you must be saved. In previous verses, Jesus spoke of thieves and of robbers who did not want to make use of the door and of the opening In fact, they wanted to stay clear of the door. They tried to climb in some other way, so we are told. But they won't succeed. And surely they will be judged as thieves and as robbers. And again, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. In other words, by anyone or by anything else, you cannot be saved. And how necessary, therefore, it is, my friend, that you know Jesus as the door, your door of salvation. Do not rely on anything or on anyone except of him. And therefore I ask you, have you already seen the necessity of Jesus as the door of your salvation? Have you seen and have you learned something of the utter inability to save yourself in any other way? And if you have not seen that yet, I want to urge you that you pray, Lord, show me my need. Show me Jesus. Well then, let me in the third place say something about the users of this door. First of all, doors are to be used, aren't they? This is why they are doors. They provide admission. They provide entrance into the house or whatever. And this is why doors are used. But some people seem to think that doors could also have different functions as well. Some seem to think that doors could also be used in a decorative way, as a decoration. I've read about some archaeological digs in the pyramids of Egypt one time. Archaeologists have found doors deep within the pyramids that lead to nowhere. Some of them are chiseled out straight into the wall, and others are fastened on the wall. And these doors are beautiful to look at because of the intricate carvings that you see on that particular door. Intricate carvings and figures of all shapes and sizes. And some people seem to think, therefore, that Jesus is a door to look at and to admire. They read books. And they want to hear sermons that extol the Lord Jesus and to make him great. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That is obviously an important part of the preaching of the gospel, isn't it? But that's all they hear. That's all they listen to. This is all they do. They look at and they admire the door. And they will say, well, my, that was a nice sermon. Or that was a good speech. That's a nice story in the Bible. But that is all that they make use of in terms of the door. They won't use the door for what it is meant to do. They won't go through it. They won't go through the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. In other words, they are actually misusers of the door. Others will stand by the door and they will knock once in a while on that door or sit in front of that door. And they will be sitting, therefore, in church under the gospel preaching perhaps for many, many years, hearing of Jesus Christ being preached to them. Every once in a while they are roused enough so that they will actually knock on that door once or twice and pray to God. But by and large, that is all they do. That is what it remains with them. They will not go through it. They will not entrust themselves to the Lord Jesus to save them. They too are not using the door for what it is meant to do for them. Because according to our text, the door, after all, is meant
to give admission, to give entrance. And the proper way of using the door is to enter in by it.
Now again, the question by way of application comes to each one of us. What sort of user of the door are you and I? What sort of user of Jesus Christ are you and I? Are you one just to admire him? Are you just one to stand close by or to sit down close by? Or are you perhaps, and I hope that that is not the case, are you perhaps one who keeps walking past the door with your eyes firmly closed and with your head turned away? That's not making good use of the door at all, is it? You see, this door invites entrance, and it encourages admission. In fact, this door bids and calls you to enter in. This door says, as it were, put your trust in me. Go on. Come through. Believe in me. And so Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Well then, who are the users of this door? What sort of people are they that make right use of this door? Well, listen to what Jesus says. If anyone enters by me. And those who enter in by Jesus are the ones who make the right use of this door, as Jesus speaks of it. Well, who is it then that may do so? Who has permission to use this door? Who may, by Jesus, enter in? And there are people here, we have one of the broadest and one of the most richest invitations that can be found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When our blessed Savior, in fact, says it in such simple terms, if anyone. No, Jesus does not say, if you understand Bible doctrine, you may enter in. He does not say, if you understand the plan of salvation, you may enter in. He does not say, if you have enough conviction of sin, you may enter in. But he simply says, anyone. And with that he means, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl. If anyone enters by me. What a wonderful, broad description this is, isn't it? Because this leaves none of us out, does it? This excludes no one. No matter what sort of a sinner you are, dear people. No matter what crimes you have committed in the past against God's holy law. No matter what sort of character you are. No matter how you have been brought up. No matter what sort of background you are. Whether you are rich or poor, black or white, whether you are a prisoner or a free man, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he, she will be saved. Someone will say, but before you go through that door, you need to clean up yourself a little bit. You need to straighten out your life a little bit. You need to get your act together. But my friend, Jesus makes no such qualifications here at all. None. And therefore you may go to Jesus as you are, in your natural state and condition. You can go to Jesus although you are a sinner. In fact, he invites sinners to come to him. Lost in trespasses and sins, and he says, come to me. And isn't that the case with all of us by nature, that we are lost in trespasses and sins? I believe here one of the well-known hymns is quite fitting to describe the right use of the door. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I plead with you this hour, dear people. Hear those simple words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to his kind invitation. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. How can you possibly refuse? And if you would refuse, you do it to your own hurt. Refusing the Savior never works in your favor. But if any of you obey the word that he speaks this hour through our text, and you enter in by Jesus, the door of the sheepfold, you will be saved. Elsewhere, the Bible says it this way, and it means the same thing, really. He who believes will be saved, or whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps so that you will not refuse, but seriously consider the words of Jesus, I want to set out before you in a few words, in the last place, the benefits of using this door. The benefits of using this door, they are again very simply spoken by Jesus when he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, what does it mean to go in and out? Well, it simply means liberty. It means freedom. An unsafe person is, in fact, a prisoner of the devil and is in bondage to Satan. But if you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you have liberty. You have freedom. We are told, for instance, in John chapter 8, 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Not only that, but you have access to God the Father. You may come into the presence of the Father with all your needs and with all your cares and with all your praise and with all your glory and all your blessings. You may go to him. You may go in and you may go out. You may come out from the presence of the Father and go on to live a life to serve the Lord Jesus, your Savior. You shall go in and out. And what a wonderful privilege you have, therefore, when you find yourselves in the presence of God at any time, to commune with him, to speak with him about your concerns, and that you can pray to him and plead with him about your physical needs, about your spiritual needs, and then be able to go out again and live trusting in his help and his protection. You shall go in and out. And Jesus then adds these words yet, and find pasture. What does it mean to find pasture? Well, for the sheep, it meant grazing and feeding, but above all, rest and contentment. This is why the human sheep of Psalm 23 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Finding pasture, therefore, means above all else, finding rest and contentment with Jesus the Savior. And again, what a privilege it is when you are saved, that you can actually find that rest and that contentment in the ways in which the Savior leads you. All of this and more is to be had if you, by Jesus, that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, enter in, because he says, I am the door. And he says this in order to invite you, and he beckons any one of you to come. And therefore, do not merely stand there and admire this door. Do not sit down near this door and do nothing. Most definitely, do not turn your back to this door, but turn, and in repentance go through it by faith. Come to Jesus, and go by him, and enter in, and be saved. In my mind's eye, I see the good shepherd standing there. You see him? Busy gathering a flock to himself. And I can hear him say it even now. So kind and so compelling. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Savior has drawn you, hasn't he? With his irresistible grace through this door, his door. And you have entered by him. And you have found wonderful protection and shelter with him. Through him, you've also gone out and you have found pasture, nourishment, rest, and contentment. And you know, these enjoyments might have only been brief and few in quantity right now. But I may tell you that they are a foretaste of what Jesus will give you after this life is ended. Unending pasture, eternal rest, perfect contentment beyond anything that you have ever been able to enjoy in this life. My friend, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep them focused on him who is the door. He is the door, and he stands wide open to receive you. Amen.